Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It is August 30th, 2022. I'm Trey Crowder, and that's Mark Agee. What's up, Mark?
Nothing, Trey. I spent a large part of the day going through a wormhole, a rabbit hole about, you know, how about it happens constantly, but libertarians try to start their own countries, but they always fail because they forget to do stuff like build roads and shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a hot new one off the coast of Honduras called Prospero. And it's a bunch of fail sons, like Ronald Reagan's kids, a bunch of some people that worked for the Nixon administration, and a scion of the Habsburg line, you know, the crooked jaw people from the medieval times. And they're mainly using it to do Bitcoin mining,
yeah,
have a call center, and do some off the books gene splicing research that the libs in the healthcare industry won't let you do. The woke libs won't let you splice like dark frog DNA into human babies.
Sure.
Forever, whatever.
Yeah, so. It's a classic liberal platform right there. What are they trying to do? They're trying to create like, I don't know, where conservative or like Uber conservatives or something? Build the perfect soldier.
Anti-Antifa super soldiers. They can survive on nothing but rainwater, human flesh. And they're coming for taxes. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
At least those never work out, like you said. So
that's it turns out to build a society, you have to actually have society. So it's like that society don't hit for them. Society has shed like age of consent law.
Yeah.
Running water. So before we get to the show, so DeSantis stepped on his own dick this week a little bit in a way that's going to ruin two dozen people's lives. But so his election integrity cops, which he started because of all, you know, the voter fraud.
Sure.
They staged a bunch of early morning SWAT raids on people who voted.
That'll show them.
Yeah. Remember a couple of years ago, they had a ballot initiative. One of the few things the Koch brothers are good about is they're for giving felons the right to vote back on some libertarian stuff. But so voters passed the ballot initiative, but it did not hit for Republicans because they're going to give everybody the right to, if they've served their time, they could vote again, provided they weren't murderers or sex offenders.
Right. Yeah.
And so these people were felons, like, hey, am I allowed to vote? And the county said, yeah, you can vote. Here's your voter registration. So then they voted. And then the state says, no, actually, they didn't go through the full process. They went to the house and arrested them. Probably thought they could railroad them and make a big show of their arrest, which they did. But also, you usually force poor people to plea out, but a bunch of election like rights lawyers got involved and represent these people pro bono. And the law explicitly states you have to knowingly illegally vote. So the government's got no case here. But
right.
It's fucking gross, man.
Florida.
Anybody thinks DeSantis is better than Trump is wrong, in my opinion.
For sure. I mean, he's like, you know, he's the thing I feel like we've been talking about for years where it's like, you know, the next Trump not being as much of a clown as him or having like some degree of competency or whatever, but being just as terrible. So, I mean, yeah, not looking forward to the, you know, DeSantis rise.
So DeSantis is definitely going to lose this, which is great because today we're going to be talking about a lot of winning and winning, making assholes very, very mad.
So mad.
And the last thing before we get to the show is one of the special elections last Tuesday in a pretty Trumpy district in Western New York. This guy named Pat Ryan, who's a Democrat, won by being explicitly hardcore pro-abortion, pro-choice. And like, I want you to watch this ad and think about how cowardly other Democrats are. They run away from this issue sometimes.
When our country called, he served. Pat Ryan graduated from West Point and risked his life in combat. He fought for our families, for our freedom.
And freedom includes a woman's right to choose.
How can we be a free country if the government tries to control women's bodies?
That's not the country I fought to defend. I'm Pat Ryan, and I approve this message because in Congress, I'll fight to protect all of our freedoms.
Yeah, so cable news people were freaking out because this is a pretty important bellwether, because it was like a Trump plus 12 district and this guy won it in a low turnout election, which is usually good for Republicans.
Right.
So he's like the first Republican to go all in with an anti-abortion message. And this is a huge test case for the party strength in the midterm. So that's good.
Hi.
He did a good job to pull this one out.
Yeah. Was it the message or was it the classic like, oh, hello there, I'm Pat Ryan, that he did a couple of times.
The complete lack of charisma.
Yeah,
complete
right.
Complete lack of charisma, still pulled it off, baby. So I think it's that's important. Women are pissed off. Dads are pissed off. Everybody's fucking pissed off. And for once, they're pissed off at the right people, or the people that are immiserating their children and making their lives worse. So, yay.
Hell yeah.
Everybody's rowing in the same direction for once. I like it.
Right on. Okay, well, let's get into it. With us, as always, is producer Matt. This is Weekly Skews. I do want to remind you, of course, of two things real quick. Number one, if you'd like to see me perform live, you can go to treycrowder.com. We just added a bunch of new dates. Finally, I know I've been telling y'all that for a while, but here they are. Some of those dates are full Whale Red shows. That's me, Corey, and Drew together. Some of the others are still the solo tour. They are marked accordingly. Either way, I hope you'll check it out. Go to treycrowder.com. Get your tickets. Come see me whenever I'm near you. Number two, if you enjoy this program and would like to show your support, you can do so by signing up on Patreon. $5 a month gets you access to full-length bonus episodes. We're going to record one later this week. Having a lot of fun with it. We hope you'll consider it. Go to weeklyskews.com/more or go on Patreon. Look me up. Either way works. Sign up on there. Get some more skews in your life. Okay. As for the show tonight, just after last week's episode, Joe Biden, of course, announced his big student loan forgiveness plan, offering much-needed debt relief to millions of Americans. A move which has naturally incensed the American right wing. We'll talk about their ensuing meltdown as we go through the show. But first, of course, we begin with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Tonight's DD, me and Mark for clearly choosing the wrong majors in college. Let's hear from who else? Lauren Boebert.
How the heck can Joe Biden call America First conservatives a threat to democracy with a straight face and a dry diaper? He's the one who has allowed millions to invade our southern border. He's the one who is robbing hardworking Americans to pay for Karen's daughter's degree in lesbian dance theory.
Lesbian dance theory. Normally they go with, like, you know, the basket weaving or the whatever type thing, you know, which I know we got some of that later. But yeah, this one, I don't know. I feel like that's a degree with legs right there. You know, I feel like there's a market out there for lesbian dance theorists.
Since you brought up the underwater basket weaving thing, which does come up later in the show, I looked up the origin of it, and there's a whole Wikipedia page dedicated to that old joke. And I was like, where did it come from? The first known mentions are like newspaper editorials in the 1950s. Wow. They've been doing this bit about how kids are getting meaningless college degrees since our meemaws were townies fucking the college boys. And yet somehow society has survived with a nation built of nothing but underwater basket weavers and lesbian dance theory majors, which anybody looks at what majors are on college campuses nowadays, it's all STEM stuff. And the fuck off degrees are like esports.
Right.
So like, I don't.
Well, it's also just like, it's weird to, like, no one should buy the idea that the only people that have outsized student loan debt are the ones who, you know, picked an odd degree or whatever. It's like, it's everybody. It's all the, all the good degrees too. All the engineering STEM shit, like you said, like it's everybody. 'Cause that's just how it works. You know, like, I really don't get what their point is supposed to be when they bring those up.
And we're going to get into all of it, but like, it's also like people take out student loans to go to cosmetology school and get those commercial driver's licenses. And like, it's this idea that plus a bunch of people don't finish college. They go to 2 years and still leave with a bunch of debt. Right. I don't know. They got nothing to say about this stuff. And we got a bunch of more dumbasses saying dumb shit about this in the main segment. Yeah. But I just want to give you guys a taste, because this is what losing looks like, is you're making fun of people that don't exist.
Right. So, all right. Our first honorable mention is anybody who thought Gina Carano's career was over after she got ousted from The Mandalorian for being hard right. No, she's still going strong. Check out the trailer for her new film, My Son Hunter.
So I'll tell you what's going down.
You know who I am.
They told me you were VIP. All connected to the government.
What kind of a moron forgets to pick up his laptop at a repair shop? You're a Biden. Act like one.
Everything he built, life, I just ruined it all.
I want to know everything that's on that laptop that can ruin my erection.
My friends, it's time to party!
All right.
Yeah.
So we talked about this movie on a Patreon episode a couple weeks ago, but the trailer hadn't out yet, and I am very excited about this trailer. This is pure cinematic quality.
Sure.
The life and times of Hunter Biden partying his fucking out. They're making it look like Leaving Las Vegas.
I know. It's like, it's just, we talked about this a little bit before the show, but it's like so often they just seem to make us out to be like rad on accident, you know what I mean? Like making liberals look you know, cooler than they need to by talking about all the, like, you know, the Satan and party shit, all the fucking, you know, sex parties and devil stuff. It's like, yeah, it's, you know, sounds like a good time.
I got way too little sex parties and devil stuff in my in my day planner personally. Yeah. I just like, so the movies, there's also all these people are already suing each other. This happened after, but like apparently Robert Davi, who's, you know, the actor from the Goonies, directed this, but apparently he didn't actually direct it. He never actually showed up. So like the director of photography actually directed the movie. So they're all suing each other for credits and stuff. So this movie, these people are going to sue each other for way more money than this movie is going to make, which is funny as shit to me. Turns out you can't trust people that are making that.
Right. That's exactly what I was about to say. I can't believe the people involved in this motion picture, you know, seem to lack scruples or integrity or, you know, an ability to work together.
This is part of like the backlash against the student loan stuff too, is like these people live in a universe of free money. Like this movie's not going to make any money. I can appreciate what we're talking about. Like this is the right wing donor is going to prop this thing up. So Robert Davi is going to get a bunch of free money as a Gina Carano, whatever, for an unprofitable bad idea. Lauren Boebert's husband, we just talked about her and the student loan thing. Lauren Boebert's husband, I just saw, has a no show job as a consultant for Colorado Oil and Gas Company. It makes $500,000 a year. So when they're lecturing people to get jobs, just remember what all these people's actual jobs are, which is being on some commenters call it wingnut welfare. Like me and Trey pivoted to make it right wing content. Some Koch brothers pass through would just give us little cartoons.
Yeah.
Bill's coming to fucking top.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind one of them no show jobs. You know, that sounds pretty sweet gig, but you know, what are you gonna do? I'm not the type to look for a handout though, you know what I mean? No show consulting job. That'd be all right. Okay. Yeah. Next honorable mention, Joe Biden for starting to try and stuff, I guess. Let's just play this clip here.
God's sake, whose side are you on? Whose side are you on?
Compare the volume there with this measured line from the inaugural address. The president said, we can join forces, stop the shouting, and lower the temperature. The president, who said on his first day he thinks unity is the path forward, is now telling people instead to pick a side. Shannon?
Dude, right. They never cease to amaze me. Was like the fuck your feelings, you know, commie socialist, lib turd, queer fucking people, all the shit that they've been saying forever, talking about unity is truly something. Like we're the problem with unity in this country. You know, now they want to, like, you know, join hands and sing kumbaya and shit. That's what we're supposed to believe, apparently.
Yeah, Fox News has been a full-on meltdown all week because Joe Biden, in a speech a couple days ago, called them the MAGA movement semi-fascist. And these are people who are calling Joe Biden a full-on communist for forgiving $10,000 in student loan debt.
Right.
Are mad about being called fascists for trying to imprison their political enemies and overthrow the democratic process. So, That clip really hit for me. I've quoted this idea before, but there was a piece I read that really stuck with me last year. I think the New Republic called Democrats Don't Want to Answer the Question. And the question was, whose side are you on? Mm-hmm. And there's Joe Biden picking a fucking side. And I like it because, like, politics is about who wields power, who gets to allocate resources. So, like, if you elect the other side, they're going to, like, give power to fascists and allocate resources to billionaire coal companies. If you elect us, we're going to be on the side of the other 98% of people and allocate resources to help you do stuff like pay off your student loans and pay for school and pay for healthcare and so forth. There are sides. Countries have sides.
Right. Yeah. And again, just they're like, that name calling is like one of their number one jams. You know what I mean? And one of the most popular ones is snowflakes. And then they get all up in arms when they get called one little name, like semi-fascist or whatever. But it's ridiculous. But, that's sort of their primary speed. So what are you going to do?
We just showed a clip where Lauren Boebert made a joke about Joe Biden shitting his pants, which is fine. I don't care.
It's like, that was like one of Trump's big things, was coming up with stupid middle school grade nicknames for the people he was pissed at. That's like a signature move of his. But yeah, we shouldn't be name calling.
When they're not calling Joe Biden evil, like, Sith Lord, they're calling him Sleepy. So right. I guess they got to pick a side. Evil or sleepy? Which one is it? Because you can't be evil and asleep.
Well, that's another classic thing they do. It's like, we're limp wristed, soy boys who can't get anything done, but also fucking Antifa super commanders who are bringing society to its knees or whatever. Like, doesn't make any sense. But again, they're not really in the sense making business. Speaking of which, our next honorable mention for Daily Dumbass.
Good transition.
Is bikes for being bent sometimes or not? Anyway, it's Herschel Walker.
Herschel Walker is still standing. My bike is not bent, so anyone can ride my bike. Like, he seemed to have Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden riding this bike because he seemed to be voting for whatever they say.
Okay.
What? So Warnock, we showed Pat Ryan ad earlier, and I just wanted to say that, like, I think Warnock's fucking up his campaign because he's running as himself, and I like Raphael Warnock. He's a nice, kindly old minister dude, but he's running the kitchen table, we're gonna get your insulin prices down 20% sort of campaign. Meanwhile, Herschel Walker is a mean asshole who literally put a gun to his ex-wife's head.
And his own head, to be fair, Mark.
Yeah,
also
true.
His own head many times.
I think if you explicitly go after people hard, it's a better campaign strategy. It's not Warnock's personality, or he's getting bad information from consultants, because right now he's polling behind Herschel Walker, who says shit like, my bike's not bent.
That's not good. Yeah, no, I don't even know why I'm wasting breath trying to parse that. But it's like, he said, my bike's not bent, so anyone can ride my bike. And then he shits on Warnock for having people riding his bike, evidently. Yeah. So I'm not sure where he stands on bikes. He needs to quit flip-flopping on bikes, all right? Pick a side, Mark. Pro-bent or anti-bent bikes. I don't know what the fuck is going on anymore. Anyway, our next honorable mention, Donald Trump for not being stupid enough to commit crimes. Hit it, Matt.
But before we go to our great guests, let me ask you a question. If you're going to commit a crime, you keep the video home on 24/7? I don't know. Would you? Seems kind of stupid, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
Or would you do it in front of the Secret Service? I don't know. That seems kind of stupid, doesn't it? Well, that's what you're expected to believe.
It's like, it's such a great example of that thing they do sometimes where it's like they say something, and you're just sitting there like, right, yeah. Yeah, it does. It does seem kind of stupid, but that's exactly why it's easy for us to believe, on account also, of stupid shit.
I know the Secret Service is largely a law enforcement agency, but they're explicitly not tasked to enforce the law on the people than their protectees. Like, Hunter Biden is surrounded by Secret Service while he's smoking crack and having sex with prostitutes. It's not their business to fucking get involved in that shit.
Right.
It's their job to keep their mouths shut as the Praetorian Guard for our political elite.
Right.
They're not going to be like, hey, that box doesn't go there. Shame on you, Mr. President.
Yeah, not really their thing.
No.
All right. Also, we got Trump for hiding stealth bomber plans in Melania's underwear drawer, apparently. Another clip here.
They went outside the four corners of what that warrant authorized them to do. including Melania's closet.
Right. And eventually there'll be trophy photos will show up. We're going to find out that FBI agents are sitting there, you know, holding up her lingerie or whatever. Mm-hmm. And those photos will come out eventually. It might be, 10 years from now, but they'll be out. The important.
All right.
This guy definitely just has been watching The Sopranos and just got to the episode where after Chris gets made, he's subject to random searches and Polly goes through Adriana's underwear drawer. So I love that I can tell exactly where everyone's at their Sopranos binge watch. But they've been making we're talking about this is what losing looks like. There's no fucking excuse. There's just nothing they can say. It's all so stupid.
Right.
And literally all they have is threats of violence, which is what Lindsey Graham said this shit. And we just watch this. Remember, Lindsey Graham used to be sort of sane. He was like best friends with John McCain and was a lawyer in the Air Force.
Lindsey Graham's got like a very sane and honestly like respectable background. Which is why, it's a shame.
Yeah.
How he'd be now, including shit like this.
Yes. If there's a prosecution of Donald Trump for mishandling classified information after the Clinton debacle, which you presided over and did a hell of a good job, there'll be riots in the streets.
Mm.
Lindsey, no, they're all
threatening. The always threatening and imposing Lindsey Graham, prophesying wrath in the face of us expecting, accountability for anyone.
Yeah. I don't doubt that the scene outside the courthouse at Trump's whatever trial would, the hypothetical trial that probably never happened, would be a scene. But some of how the fascist brain works for a minute, fascists are encouraged by apathy and by winning. Their leader getting arrested would not motivate fascists. It would dispirit them. Right. They're also not used to playing this game. It took them months to plan January 6th. They did it out in the open, but nobody was paying attention. And the whole FBI and Secret Service was caught flat footed, as was Capitol Police. They will not be caught flat footed a second time. And so I don't think that would be the reaction. I think some stochastic terrorism. I think some assassination attempts on prosecutors would be likely, maybe a bomb threat against the judge.
It's also just such a wild thing to openly say, just like threatening violence, in response to, like I said, the idea of accountability or like the law mattering. You know what I mean? It's like you guys have to learn to, turn your heads to this type of shit and just let us do it. Because if you don't, we're going to take to the streets and burn everything down. God damn it.
Yeah.
It's essentially exactly what he's saying. And that's a wild thing for a sitting senator to be saying openly, but
here's the thing. If you take out more money than you can pay back in student loans, fuck you. You did the crime. You do the time. You try to overthrow the government and keep plans for the stealth bomber next to wet eggs at a breakfast bar. Then we get to get away with it. Cause fuck you. Right.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. So what's this thing you have in here about him going, Trump going full Q? What
happened? So people are paying less attention to Trump, which is largely good. But also, one thing no one's noticing is getting more and more explicitly crazy. So he had a shitstorm on Truth Social this morning. He posted like 60 times in an hour. And most of it was retweets, which is their retweeting of like explicitly Q content. Now, before, when he retweeted Q content, it was more like dog whistles he might have not noticed, like maybe the screen name was like where we go, we'll go one, we go all, which is the QAnon catchphrase or whatever. But this is like explicitly the storm is coming, I am Q type stuff. He also posted a statement the other day about how he was going to be reinstated as president, which people reportedly thought that, but then he denied it because it's crazy.
Right. Yeah, so I'm saying, the only option was to throw out the results of the election and have a brand new one right now, today, whole new election where, the right person would win. Also, didn't he frame that, if I'm remembering correctly, about was that the thing where he was saying, like, the fact that they ignored Hunter Biden's laptop right before the election because they knew that it would give Trump the victory, and that's why he deserves a new election, which is, like, kind of what really did happen to Hillary Clinton right before his election when the investigation was opened into her emails or whatever. Anyway, I don't know why.
Yeah, so they were set aflame by Mark Zuckerberg went on Joe Rogan's podcast and said that the FBI came to them and asked them to bury, kind of sort of bury the Hunter Biden laptop story because it was Russian disinformation. As if like Hunter Biden's laptop existing, which no one's ever said anything bad is on it, and the Hunter Biden's laptop existing would have swung the election to Trump, therefore the election doesn't count.
Yeah, who knows? All right, our final honorable mention for Daily Dumbass. Anybody who thought Rudy couldn't go like a big boy? That's right. He tells us right here.
So here they're saying things like there's going to be a big dump, and there was a big dump. I put out the big dump to the New York Post. So.
At least he don't have like, the poop water on his face anymore, you know.
Yeah. It's one of those ones, isn't it? I think he's talking about like election fraud information.
Yeah, that right.
To filings.
They but, called it. Anyway. They that was like the terminology they were using right at the time. A big dump of fraudulent votes or whatever it was supposed to be. I don't remember, but dump was their nomenclature for it.
Yeah, there's no big takeaways from that one. That was just
just funny. Rudy sounds like he's talking about pooping and poop stuff, which is always a good time. I enjoyed it too. All right. Well, let's get into it. The debt jubilee.
All right. So Joe Biden canceled a fairly token amount of student debt. It'll make a pretty big difference in a lot of people's lives, but also it won't be enough for a lot of people. And some people, like I paid off my student loans. I won't get any relief, which is fucking fine. These people that are like, I didn't get it. So you didn't get it. I don't understand.
No, I know. I don't either. Last week I made one of my videos about the student loan thing. And that's one of the things I brought up. That shit drives me crazy because like I said in the video, so, you know, my dad died of pancreatic cancer, right? He's gone, been gone since 2013. If they announced a miracle cure for pancreatic cancer, one of the worst cancers out there tomorrow, I'm not going to be like, oh, okay. So all these like entitled cancer havers out here just get to go on being alive. Is that it? Is that how it works in Joe Biden's America? Like, I just don't understand that. I mean, it's just fucking like selfishness and pettiness and whatever. It's not like it's that difficult to understand, but it's just so baldly shitty that it's wild to me that people don't realize it when they're saying stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's just sorry.
Yeah. I think it's a good policy that doesn't go far enough, which is pretty much the Democrat slogan is
yes,
pretty good. It's all you're going to get, which is whatever. It's better. Pretty good is better than nothing. Fucking eat shit.
Absolutely. So,
but it's also a pretty funny moment in U.S. politics because Biden did something good that won't really affect anyone else. Like they're trying to spin this and like it means taxpayers have to pay it off. But not true. It's not the government does not have to pay back its debt. It just does not. So a lot of these student debts wouldn't have been paid back anyway. People would have died in debt, and that 10 grand would still be on the book. All it does is affect their credit rating and increase their chances of one day being able to pay it off. But Republicans still salted the earth over this middling, just pretty good policy that doesn't affect anybody else other than the people who have their debt forgiven and made themselves look like total clowns. And I saw a bunch of centrists saying this pundits saying this would cause an electoral backlash, but I really don't understand how. And if it does, like that scarcity mindset we're just talking about where I didn't get it, so you can't get it, we're so far gone. If that on, I don't know how we continue being a fucking society.
I don't get like an electoral backlash against the Democrats, they mean in response to this from, but like, I don't understand that either. It feels to me like it would be the opposite. It felt like, you know, a move to, you know, help fire up the base further. Like people that are, I don't get it. I feel like there's bound to be plenty of people. Maybe they're on the fence who have student loans, you know, that this will help out that might, you know, influence them to be more pro-Democrat. But I feel like all the people that are like, truly pissed off by this because, oh, it's unfair and fucking lazy basket weavers and all that shit. Like, I don't think they were like going to be a factor for the Democrats. And like, they were probably pretty locked in. I don't understand how that's supposed to work.
And this applies to 40 million Americans, 40 million Americans whose lives has got better. And it's not just those 40 million. Those 40 million are also married to people who don't have college debt. Right. They're brothers and sisters of people who don't have college debt. They're sons and daughters of people who don't have college debt. So it's the the people that are positively going to like this are way more than the 40 million.
Yeah.
but it's still like, it was so funny because centrists were saying that this is going to cause an electoral backlash. It's a bad idea for Biden to do. And the Republicans are saying this is Joe Biden buying votes.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean. I didn't realize there were people saying, oh, this is going to cause a big backlash. Cause like I said, I had seen the opposite. Like you said, it was it's like a bribe. It's like, oh, the midterm. It's so transparent what they're doing with the midterms coming up. They think they can just help a bunch of people and just get away with it, you know, or whatever. Yeah. I mean, I thought that was stupid too, but I definitely thought that was the primary argument. Was it's like it's just a bargaining chip or whatever. But
is there no more Democrat reaction, like centrist Democrat reaction, than Democrats doing something to help people and Republicans being like, oh no, we lost this one. People are going to like being helped. They're going to want more help. And then centrist Democrats being like, oh no, we won. This sucks for us. Now we're going to lose.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I don't get it.
So the $10,000 to $20,000, which is like 20,000 is like for Pell Grants.
But Pell Grants. Yeah.
You have to apply for this. There's going to be a program. So like, it's not going to be automatic granted to you. You have to fill out forms and shit. So if you're listening to this, you think you just got it. No, go Google how to get into it. Right. But he's not just forgiving a set amount of debt. He also enacted a new policy that ends excess interest rates on student loans.
And right.
As long as the borrower pays their minimum monthly payment, which is now capped only 5% of their income, their balance will no longer increase. That's probably a bigger deal than a 10 to 20. Right.
No, I know. Yeah, it's wild to me I've seen it brought up, but it felt like it should have been more of a headline to me. Because like you said, it's like, yeah, there's a lot of people with much more than, you know, 10K or 20K or whatever. But this like applies to, you know, to everybody pretty much. Like if you're in a position where it's really hurting you or strapping you, regardless of how much of it there is in total, this is still going to be hugely beneficial. So it's like, you know, it's even more far reaching than people thought because of that.
I do want to say when I talk about it not being that the 10, 20,000 not being that huge of a deal, I don't mean just in those people's lives or not being a helpful thing. I mean, in context of U.S. government spending, I think this costs like $500 million, which is pennies for the federal government. And the government gives away much more money to a bunch of other people that no one ever cares. They also do a bunch of debt relief stuff. Joe Biden's forgiven a bunch of other student loans. They sort of forgave billions of dollars and loans to the people got from for-profit schools that were essentially ripoffs. Like they've already forgiven other classes of student debt no one made a big deal about. They forgive PPP loans we're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. And so this is why these people's reactions are so stupid. So let's talk about some dumbass reactions to this shit. Let's have some fun.
Please.
Right. Here's Don Jr.'s fiance, Kimberly Guilfoyle.
People that are working hard. Enough of this nonsense. Paying off loans for people that don't want it. They want to have some bizarre basket weaving, a degree.
And there it is.
All of us, people watching across this country, hardworking men and women, to subsidize their laziness and their inability to even try to contribute to society.
So there it is. If you have student loans, you don't have a job, I guess, is the message.
Right.
I do want to point out, this is a woman who's big genius stroke in her career was marrying Gavin Newsom and then trying to marry Don Jr. and going on Fox News. She also got paid $180,000 for a no-show job for the Trump campaign and got $60,000 to do a 90-second speech on January 6th. We talk about these people live in a world where free money falls into their lap. This is what I'm talking about.
Right.
And also, she did the underwater basket we've been doing.
So, and I saw on there, she's like, her organization's called MAGA Again, which like, I get it. I do understand it, but it's still funny to me. It's make America great again. Just seems appropriate.
They should do like an attorney's general thing where it's like make America's great again or something. that would be for me. This is a guy. This is a guy was worked in the George W. utter sneering contempt for this asshole has for everyone else in America who's working and can't afford to pay their loans.
I think many important and smart things have been said at this table, so I'll just add a couple. I feel like we've reached the Joker phase of the Biden presidency. All we're lacking now is
a purple
suit. He's riding a parade float down Pennsylvania Avenue, just tossing money out the window here.
Again,
it's totally lawless.
Sounds pretty sweet. Unconstitutional.
It completely is in violation of our norm. You got a president.
I want to go to a money parade with Biden in a purple suit and shit, you know. Sounds wild to me. It's funny you started that out with like, there's been a lot of important and truly smart things said on this table. So I'm going to do a couple more real quick. I got a couple more smart and important things for you.
you know much free media you got you would get if Joe Biden really did this, took like $10 million of Democratic campaign cash instead of spending it on ads and consultants to do dumb shit, just literally had a parade in a purple suit and threw money out. That would get you more votes. That would hit so fucking hard. All right. Now, one of the most annoying one of these. Here's Marco Rubio. Almost called Rick Rubio.
There's no reform. Let's start with this. I talked about the fact we need to reform student loans. I owed over $100,000 in student loans. The day I got elected to the Senate, I had over $100,000 still in student loans that I was able to pay off because I wrote a book. And from that money, I was able to pay it. If not, I'd still be paying it. Okay. So that's not about, I did the student loan thing in America as a big problem, and it's broken. It needs to be fixed. Like, it needs to be reformed. And I have bipartisan ideas.
You got it, Matt. Yeah. What? So it's important to note here, these guys write books. These are schemes. Nobody read Marco Rubio's book.
I know. I was thinking that when he said it. I was like, I bet that surely didn't sell well.
So he paid a ghostwriter, Mark Salters, who also ghostwrote all John McCain's books, to write this book. And Mark Salters probably did it on spec. And then the money came on the back end. What happens is these books always end on the bestsellers list because Republican donors just buy them in bulk.
Right.
Or the campaign. Rubio's campaign can't pay Marco Rubio, but they can buy 100,000 copies of Marco Rubio's book to hand out as campaign literature, right? So it's just naked corruption. Where he says, I wrote a book, but he says, scare yourself up by your bootstraps, right? He also, in his case, his book had 100,000 copies bought by the billionaire whose pet he is.
Right.
So this is just a fucking joke.
It's also just how, and I know he's right. He's about to pivot and talk about how this isn't the right way to address it or whatever, but it's just funny that he goes through this whole thing establishing that he, you know, should understand the burden that this has on people. Do you know what I mean? He's like, look, I've been there. I know how difficult it is. It's a huge problem. You know, it's like, right. Well, we're trying to address that problem. He's like, yeah, but that ain't it.
No, what you got to do is get yourself elected to the Senate. Now, there's only 100 of those jobs in America, but we can all take turns. Get yourself elected to the Senate. Have someone else pay a ghostwriter to write a book for you. You don't do any fucking work on it, so maybe give some notes. And then a billionaire will come along and just recoup your advance for you. And then
It's kind of like, I mean, I paid off my student loans and I did it mostly all at once. And it was after I went viral and started touring. And actually, I sold a book now that I think about it. And I paid off, but like, and I would never, ever, you know, be like, so why don't all y'all just do that shit? You know
what I mean? Just go viral.
Just go viral. Just fucking take your shirt off, yell at your phone, quit being a baby about it. You know, like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. There are some harebrained takes. This one is just next one. This is a Republican named Jim Banks, who's a congressman from Indiana. He said the quiet part real loud here. This is a tweet. Student loan forgiveness undermines one of our military's greatest recruitment tools at a time of dangerously low enlistments.
Dude.
If we don't make the only way to pay to college, get your leg blown off in Iraq.
Yeah, right.
You get the leg blown off in Iraq.
Right. Yeah. It's like, yeah, we depend on these predatory practices that exploit low income youth, you know, as a means of national security. God damn it. Don't you guys realize this is like terrorists winning?
It's also, weirdly enough, shitting on the military or the people in it, because it's like, everyone in the army is an idiot for joining because it's stupid to be in the army. If we can't force people to do it, no one's going to serve.
No one's going to do it. Yeah. If we can't basically like blackmail or bribe them into doing it, then why would anyone ever do that? It's insane. You don't want to go over there and get shot and shit. No, we need to be able to give them, you know, free college or a signing bonus on a Dodge Charger, you know, one or the other or both.
I would say that, like, the one person I would empathize with who would be mad about this would be a guy who volunteered for Iraq to pay for college and then lost a leg or an arm or got killed and be like, well, they could have done this before. But also, I think that person would be like, well, I'm glad nobody has to make that choice if they don't want to ever again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just that thing where it's like, you know, no, like, even with that guy, like, yeah, I mean, that sucks, but it's, you know, it doesn't have to be comparative. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, dude, it's bullshit that that happened to you, you know, but it's also bullshit what's happening to millions of other Americans. Like, everybody's getting fucked. It's all bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be a competition.
But in case you think pulling yourself up by your bootstraps is complicated, Dan Bongino went on Fox News and drew this really helpful diagram. What that is a stick figure with a huge ass, and he's drawing an arrow to it saying rump. And what's happening is, see the up arrow? The ass has gotten itself up, and another arrow is going to a job.
Okay. I saw this in the outline or whatever, and I genuinely could not make heads or tails of this. I had no idea what he was. But so he's saying, get up off your ass and go get a job, and that's how you repay a loan. Okay.
Yeah. The unemployment rate is like 3% right now, by the way. So everybody has fucking jobs except for 3% of people.
And, also, look at him trying to take Katie Porter's shine out here, right? With the whiteboard.
I do enjoy that. I'm pretty bad at Pictionary, but we just learned that I could beat you at Pictionary, which is
I was not following.
we got to put some money on game night. Along that lines, about everyone needing student loan debt relief, including my sister, who's a first grade teacher. She's a lazy bloodsucker, I guess. But Ted Cruz also has it in for people that work at coffee shops. Let's listen to Ted Cruz.
That there is a real risk if you are that slacker barista who wasted 7 years in college studying completely useless things, now has loans and can't get a job.
Say underwater basket weaving.
Joe Biden just gave you $20,000. Like, holy cow, $20,000. That, you know, maybe you weren't going to vote in November and suddenly you just got $20,000. And, you know, if you can, you know, get off the bong for a minute and head down to the voting station or just send in your mail-in ballot that the Democrats have helpfully sent you, it could drive up turnout.
The abject contempt that they have for just regular working people. You know what I mean? Like, this motherfucker don't go to coffee shops. I guarantee you he does. And I mean, of course, you know, that doesn't mean plenty of people go to coffee shops, think that the people that work at coffee shops are useless pieces of shit. I know, because I was in the service industry for a while and I know how it goes. But I mean, yeah, it's just wild. Being, I mean, I don't know, you know, fucking regular Americans working a job. Go fuck yourself, you stupid piece of shit. That's what Ted Cruz thinks.
It's worth pointing out that, like, one of the most rapidly unionizing workplaces in America right now is Starbucks. And part of the reasons why is because it's not that great of a place to work. And they work you very, very hard. And you have to be there at 5 a.m. And, like, one person who worked at a Starbucks is saying, like, they some of them have wearables where, like, alarm goes off if you're standing still for more than 8 seconds. So you get, like,
they're taking, my God.
Time to lean, time to clean, to a dystopian degree.
That's insane.
So fuck Ted Cruz. Everybody that works at a like he's moonlighting from his job as a senator, which is a job where you work like 15 days a year as a fucking podcaster. The motherfucker hasn't worked a day in his adult life since he left. I guess the hardest job he ever has was Solicitor General in Texas, where he went to court to argue that there was no constitutional right to jerk off. I'm not kidding. He tried to take that no constitutional right to jerk off case to the Supreme Court because Texas wanted to outlaw sex toys. This guy, I want to talk about this guy because I'll tell you the punchline of this video after we play it because it's pretty fucking hilarious. Here's Stephen Moore, who Trump tried to put on the Federal Reserve Board.
Now, when I said that people were angry about this, Pete, what really makes people angry is that this isn't what America is about. You play by the rules and you get rewarded. If you're not paying your debts, you're a deadbeat. I mean, that's the term.
Cut it back.
If
you're not paying your debts, you're a deadbeat. Trey, do you want to know why Trump was unable to successfully appoint him to the Federal Reserve?
Please tell me, Mark.
Because after he was nominated, and remember, if you don't pay your debt, you're a deadbeat, it came out that he shorted his wife $300,000 in child support, and she had to take him to court to force him to fucking pay it.
Literal deadbeat dad over here. Calling people deadbeats. Yeah, that's wild. The lack of self-awareness that they continuously exhibit. But also just the fucking the middle of that where he's like, you play by the rules and you're rewarded. It's like, no, you're not. No, you're fucking not. Like, all these people are playing by the rules. The rules are fucked up. Like, it's just a straight up lie. And people are tired of it. But
So we talked about a bunch of shameless liars flailing about for a message that makes sense. Let's talk about hypocrisy for a second, because Stephen Moore is not our only fucking entry in that field. But let's show Marco Rubio for a second to establish what we're talking about.
This is illegal. The president doesn't have the authority to do this. He's not an emperor. He can't just, with the stroke of a pen, cancel $300, $400 billion worth of student loan. And number three, it's unfair. I wrote and passed the PPP program, which, by the way, is nothing like the student loan issue.
It is like the student loan issue, and then it's free money from the government.
Right.
which is why they left so fumbling. What he's trying to say about it being illegal, he's saying, well, PPP loan was passed as an act of Congress, so we didn't pass an act of Congress to do this, except they did. It was under the Emergency Powers Act. Emergency Powers Act passed after 9/11 that gave George W. Bush's administration the power to eliminate student loans in times of national emergency. Now, the Supreme Court could say that COVID doesn't qualify and therefore Biden's move, but like that's for the courts to sort out. And by the way, the Biden administration's backup plans, if the court tries to do that, they just have to do it in a much more arduous and painstaking fashion that will take longer and require more bureaucracy. But I don't doubt they're going to do that to punish Biden, but it doesn't mean there's no legal authority. It's about what judges decide words mean. What's an emergency, Trey?
Right. Yeah, I know. Well, I definitely don't trust this Supreme Court to not fuck the whole thing up. So it's good to know that there's a backup plan at the very least. But yeah, the PPP thing, I know that that was a big thing with all this rhetoric. All these Republicans super pissed off about the notion of this, who seem to have no problem with getting some of that sweet, sweet government cash for themselves during COVID.
Our biggest politics brains, because what the White House did was they took all these Congress people's PPP loans that got forgiveness and just made a Twitter thread being like, their statements, and then compared to what their loans got forgiven. And also people were like, oh, that's not fair. The two things aren't the same. And I understand the differences between the two. One was a once in a generation thing to stop a pandemic. And this is more of a systemic problem that we need to really reform the whole system. But we'll get to that a little bit later. But this pure hypocrisy, because they have no problem with people. Just don't want people like the rest of us getting loan forgiveness, right?
Right.
Well, business tyrants got it. And I saw people like, even Nate Silver was like, this is unfair comparison because I don't see why it's hypocritical. It's like, he was saying he didn't understand it. It's just hypocrisy. People understand hypocrisy and makes them mad. Like Joe Biden did a thing where they asked him, is it unfair? And he goes, is it unfair for billionaires to get tax breaks that the rest of us don't get? Everybody understands that. It's a very easy pivot. And these guys just don't fucking understand it. I think it's unfair to criticize them for getting free money. And I'm not against the PPP loans. They were probably necessary to get the entire economy from collapsing. There was a bunch of fraud, only like not as much of it got passed through to workers as it was supposed to. But that's a problem for like audits and shit. That's not a problem for the ideals of the program. But for people to complain about this shit just absolutely fucking pisses me off. Like Tucker Carlson's been going off about this. Tucker Carlson had three businesses get a total of $1 million in PPP loans forgiven. Marjorie Taylor Greene had $183,000 in PPP loans forgiven for a construction company. Here's a brief list. Matt Gaetz got $500,000 in PPP loans forgiven. Vern Buchanan, Republican of Florida, we talked about last week, got $2.8 million. I'm looking at a list. Brett Guthrie, Republican of Kentucky, $4.3 million in loan forgiveness. Ralph Norman, Republican of South Carolina, $300,000. The list goes on and on and on. All these motherfuckers grab free money for themselves, pass a token amount of it to the workers, and that are complaining about people getting their student loans getting a chunk locked off of them. I have no patience for these motherfuckers.
No, me neither. So we've got, there's a whole bunch of these, Republican meltdowns that we've got. And, you know, we have more, but I wanted to say, you know, if you want to cherry pick, you know, what you want to do next in the rundown, then we should do that.
Yeah.
I don't, and then also Matt, and I know Matt, if he queues up a video or whatever, but I'm just saying, if you see like some comments or whatever relevant to this, you can throw them up there whenever.
I'll skip to the wrap up here. We'll talk about Reagan for a second because I think that's the most important part. And I think like it's important to note how we got here, because one thing that happens is different generations talk past each other because you all grew up in different eras of the American economy. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. Like, Trey and I called ageist a lot for making fun of boomers. And I'm not saying that every part of a boomer's life was easier. That's not, it's quite obviously not true, but school was a lot cheaper back in y'all's day. The cost of tuition and fees at a 4-year public universities was about $2,500 and $2,020 from the mid-60s to the mid-80s. that's, you can pay for college plus some are working a minimum wage job. You can't pay for college with some are working a minimum wage job anymore.
Right.
For example, I looked up what tuition is in my college. When I graduated in 2000, I had about $30,000 in student loan debt because my room and board and tuition totaled about $10,000-$11,000 a year. Now it's about $30,000 a year. That's 22 years later, almost triple in price in 22 years. That's not sustainable because wages haven't gone up that much.
Right. Well, that's the case with like everything, right? I mean, they talk about how like just work hard or whatever. And that shit I was saying earlier about, you know, work hard, follow the rules, you'll be rewarded. And it's not true. What used to be more true, I mean, as long as you were a white person, because during this period we were talking about, you know, anybody that wasn't white was getting ruthlessly fucked over all the time. Glad all that got fixed. Anyway, yeah, you know, you could get just a regular job, full-time job, and have like a house with a two-car garage and be married with a wife who stays home with the kids and all that, you know, fucking Norman Rockwell shit, and could work a part-time job in the summer and pay your way through college. All that shit used to be true. And it's like these, a lot of these people think that it's like they don't realize that it's not true anymore. So they think that kids today are just choosing to not do all that. Or something, no matter how many times they're, you know, it's screamed at them that it's just none of that's real anymore. It doesn't matter to them. They just can't see it beyond, you know, their own experience with it or something. It's fucking.
Yeah. It's also like we're pointing out that it's harder for teens and college kids to get minimum wage jobs because they're taken up by retirees who got fucked by the housing market and the stock market collapse. So like boomers are also fucked by the same economy. They're the ones working at Walmart greeters and cashiers and shit. Anyway, we need to fix all that stuff. But like, I do want to do, if you wonder where the student loan debt basically didn't exist in the '80s and someone dug up this speech given by a Reagan staffer when he was governor in California, there was this meme that took hold right after Vietnam. The one of the reasons the only reason we lost Vietnam, besides the fact that it was an unwinnable war, which you know from the Rand papers that got leaked to the Washington Post and the Pentagon papers, they knew it was unwinnable way before we lost it. But they think we lost because of the student protest movement,
right?
And in May 1970, Ronald Reagan shut down all 28 UC and Cal State campuses in the midst of student protests. Shut it down just to protest. And his education advisor, Roger A. Fee, at a press conference to defend him, in which he said, "You're in danger of being educated proletariat. That's dynamite. We have to be selective on who we allow to go to college." Berkeley at that point was nearly free to attend for California residents, which now I bet you it's $40,000 a year. And it became a national center of organizing against the Vietnam War. Deep anxiety about this reached the highest levels of the U.S. government. John McCone, head of the CIA, requested a meeting with J. Edgar Hoover to discuss communist influence at Berkeley, a situation that definitely required some corrective action. So basically, student loan debt was invented in the 80s under the Reagan administration to restrict and make college more expensive. It took away public financing for education. And this is the system they wanted. They want everybody to not be able to be entrepreneurs and start their own jobs and protest wars. So that's what we
right.
got here.
So like essentially they were saying, you know, when regular people go to college, they turn into fucking commies who cause problems for us by not liking our wars and shit. And that ain't good. So we need fewer regular people going to college. So we need to take corrective action, i.e., take away the public funding for college, make it more expensive for regular people. And then that in turn led to them requiring student loans. And now, you know, 30, 40 years later, whatever, here we are, 40, 50 years later. But
yeah
I'd never heard any of that, but I'm not at all surprised that, you know, Ronald Reagan is at the root of yet another, you know, massive turn for the worse in recent American history.
Well, that scarcity mindset we talked about up top, it really is troubling because it's like conservatives aren't wrong that if you give people an opportunity to get less and less, they're forced to be more grateful for the scraps they get. Mm-hmm. And also you get mad at other people for getting stuff when you didn't get it. And we're talking about education here. Education is unlimited. Kids can read the same book over and over again. You don't have to take the books out of the library. You don't have to shut down the classes. Education is the cheapest way to improve society, and they're trying to destroy it still. That's what DeSantis is up to.
Anthony Webb says, loving that hat, Mark. Hit the like button, everybody. Yes, thank you, Anthony. Like and subscribe and share and rate and review on the podcast version, all that good stuff. Yeah, that's a staple for Mark there, that hat, I believe. Catherine Clark says, the White House on Twitter has a new social media person, and she is killing it. Yeah, I saw that, too, that she was the one that was credited with the that whole the PPP loan thing that took over Twitter. That was the new person running the White House's Twitter page, which she had some good credentials, but I it's escaping me right now what they were.
Was he some sort of comedy writer or like social media executive or something? Anyway,
social media something or another. But anyway, Robert Bishel says White House Twitter gave no fucks.
Yeah, they were like
person.
Yeah, the dark brand. They were like half a second away from tweeting out a dark brand and me, and they were pretty on it. Which is like that's who's online. Fucking took care of the online audience. That's what John Fetterman does. Like a hand-to-hand, handshaky, door-knocking campaign in real life, but on Twitter, he's dunking all over Oz because that's what the internet's fucking for. So why not do it?
Cynthia Marie says, they say hard work. They imagine people busting their asses, manual labor, mentally exhausting jobs, things that they never did. Yeah, if you're talking about the politicians and stuff, 100%, absolutely. I mean, that's what we were saying. Yeah. Like you said, it's like, what do these people have so much trouble getting money? Like, don't they know that people just give you money for stuff? Like, haven't they been around this country? Because that's how things do work for them. Actually, Mark had this in the rundown. We just were running long on everything. But Lucia Duncan says, don't forget the gifts given to farmers for set-aside land and milk checks. I love farmers, but they've been subsidized for decades. Chuck Grassley in particular, right, was one of those farmers who's received millions in subsidies over the years, who's ranting and raving about this.
I got the numbers right here. He was complaining about student loan forgiveness, but his family's gotten $1.75 million in federal farm subsidies in the past 20 years. And also, remember when Trump's stupid trade war with China? The Republicans gave $16 billion in cash to farmers, just straight up cash. This is just loan forgiveness.
Carta says, does he not realize Republicans can pay off 10 to 20K in student debt too? I know that's what I was saying earlier. It's like, you know, there's got to be a shit. I wonder what those people are thinking right now. Are they just like quietly being like, I mean, this is pretty sweet. I'm not, you know, because there's got to be a shitload of Republicans who this also is helping. And I wonder how that,
I like this,
what that's going to do.
This comment's perfect.
Jasmine Parker on YouTube says, yes, politicians doing shit to make your life better to get you to vote for them is literally their fucking job. Right. Yeah, I know.
How did we get away from that?
Well, I know they're like, oh, it's just a bargaining chip or whatever. It's like, OK, so when the Democrats offer a political bargaining chip, it's a policy that helps millions of actual Americans. Like I'm kind of fine with that. Like that. Is that supposed to bother me? Sounds pretty sweet. Mind Grifter says, guaranteed Ted Cruz will never be able to visit a coffee shop in person ever again unless it's the Patriot Eagle gun coffee. Yeah, he's probably a Black Rifle coffee. Isn't that what it's called? You know what I'm talking about, Mark?
Black Rifle coffee. I mean,
the coffee
for people who like guns, because your specific coffee is for your gun stance.
No? Right. Eric Martinez says, why not forgive health care debt instead of student loans? I mean, you know,
because the federal government doesn't own it. I mean, I'd be favor of figuring out a way to do that. But the federal government doesn't own health debt. So it's like it's not easy. This is a very straightforward legal thing, assuming the courts agree that this is that COVID qualifies as a national emergency. Although, obviously, the government's acting like COVID's over. So it's a little bit of bullshit, but it's bullshit that helps people. So
real quick. Debbie Lynn Robinson says, why not both? Yeah, I agree. I mean, yeah, we definitely need to do something about the fucking healthcare debt, too. And just the future of that whole system. So real quick, because I found it, Megan Coyne is the girl's name who got the White House Twitter job. She had previously ran social media for the New Jersey governor's office. And apparently one person, when the New Jersey governor's account went live, someone said, who let New Jersey have a Twitter? And the response from the official New Jersey government account was, your mom. So she got a little bit of sass.
I don't know if the Twitter thread will change anybody's mind about anything, but the Republicans freaking out about it and showing their ass, that makes them look weak and stupid. And that part was worth the price of it.
Sure. Absolutely. All right. So, let's see here. Yeah, thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. So, reminder, go to treycrowder.com, get tickets, come see me live. Remember, some of those new dates are with Corey and Drew as well, the ones that say well-read appropriately. And we're still adding more into 2023, so there'll be new ones coming soon. If you're not represented there, don't worry. We're working on it, I promise you. Number two, if you like this show, you want to support us, go to weeklyskews.com/more or go on Patreon, look me up. $5 a month, get full length bonus episodes, and we sure would appreciate it. So yeah, that's it. Thanks everybody for being here. Enjoy your Labor Day weekend. We appreciate it. And we'll see you next time. So you love you. Bye. Cheers.